Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm joined today with Joel Elkanen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. He also has the website premarketprep.com. And Joel, it's great to have you on the show, but you just had a big event over the weekend. Give us a recap of how things went and maybe one or two of the key takeaways for you.
Oh, thanks for having me, and thanks for asking about the event. What an incredible turnout. We had it from Saturday from 9 to 12. We opened to open it up to non-U.S. investors. And we just, a lot of what we talked about was a lot of stuff that you don't hear in the mainstream media. Trading off relationships, statistical arbitrage, index arbitrage, and just a lot of things that, you know, are not talked about on Wall Street. I introduced, more formally, my methods of technical analysis. And we're just trying to prepare people. We've had a great market environment, right? And the market can go up forever. But what we were trying to do is prepare people for either a down or sideways market. But really was just so impressed with the turnout for his Saturday. If you missed that one, we're planning another one in October. And Corey and Shad, you guys will be the first ones to know about it.
Sounds great. I hope folks will check out the next one. And it's always good to have a plan for any kind of market. And so it's good that you have a strategy. It's easy when things are going up, right? But when there's a sideways market or a down market, that's when traders get a little turned around. So I'm sure there was some great information shared. And yes, please keep us posted of the next one. As far as looking at the markets, just coming out of the gate, you know, what has your eye as far as some of the main sectors, Joel? Are you looking more at the big tech? Are you looking more at some of the healthcare, some of the other sectors?
I'm always looking at the big tech, Shad. I mean, you got your top five stocks, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, and Facebook, making up 25% of the S&P 500 index. How else can you not focus on these stocks? Some people, I guess, are calling it the S&P 5 now. And if you throw NVIDIA in there, there you have. Who cares about the other 494 stocks? Apple just hanging out, trying to break out. That's been in a trading range. But, you know, showing strength on a daily basis. Instead of hitting 150 and pulling back, it's trading a lot at 150. So that looks good. Microsoft had its incredible two-day run off the increase in prices. That's taken a little breather. Amazon got beat up after earnings. Just kept making a new post-earnings low. Everyone holding out for that 3,000 level, which had been monthly support going back since July of last year. They might not get it. We hit 3180 and got a nice bounce. And Google, just being Google, hanging out here and there. Oh, Google making a new all-time high today. So, I mean, how can you ignore big tech in this market being so dominant? I know people like to have better breath, but that's just the way it is. Other sectors, healthcare is taking on the chin a little bit. I mean, you can only rally Pfizer, Moderna, and BioNTech so much off the same headline. And that headline, it's kind of getting old now, and so those stocks are selling off. Just note to investors, the BNTX and the mRNA, different animals. Those stocks had parabolic runs, so you have people stuck in those things a little bit more, so they're having a hard time. Whereas Pfizer, you know, he's the old, you know, bully on the block. He's been around for a while. It just broke out of a 30-year base. So tech and healthcare, or, you know, the vaccine stocks are really the two main focuses for me today. A few other things, but we can discuss them when you want.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, there's only so much life they can squeeze out of these vaccine stocks. And there's also a ton of speculative vaccine-related stocks and testing stocks that are in the biotech sector that have had huge runs earlier in the year and last year and have cratered like a $10 suit. So so it's maybe time to reevaluate.
That's a new one on me, a $10 suit.
You don't want one of those. Maybe $10,000 suit for Joel, but
who wears suits, Dad? Who wears suits anymore? Are you a suit?
In this world, nobody needs to because we're all in a Zoom nation, work from home. So, but I want to go back to the point you were just making, Joel, about the S&P 5 plus 1, S&P 6 versus the S&P 500. Is there anything that's going to change that narrative where everybody has piled into the same 5 to 6 stocks? You could also argue Tesla's in there, make it a 7. But is there anything that will change that narrative, or is there so much passive trading and so much ETF trading that's supporting those stocks that it's just a runaway train? You had mentioned last time it may even be bulletproof, but is there anything that could push things back out into some of the other sectors so that there is a little more breath in the market?
Oh, boy. I mean, there's always rotation, right? There's always rotation in the markets. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, were talking about, oh, we need a correction. We need a pullback. Well, what did your IWM do? You know, it peaked in February at 234. You hit that same month and had a 207 low. That pulled back to 209. I mean, there was your pullback if you're looking for a pullback. So there's always the reason this market doesn't get crushed is because there's always rotation. If they're selling this, they're buying this. If they're buying this, they're selling this. So there's just like this insatiable bid underneath the market. It's not always in the same place, but it's just the rotation just keeps the market afloat. And it seems like with these big, when they're not rotating into these big tech stocks, they're staying still. They're consolidating. They're going nowhere. So as you know, stocks that are in uptrends, they stop and consolidate are, consolidating to resume the move higher. And I know that's pretty simplistic terms, but that's the way I look at the markets.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a chance for investors to get into the small cap stocks in the Russell 2000 when there was that pullback, and people took advantage of that. And like you say, the money rotated in there and it's on the way back up again. Well, here's another sector that's on the way back up. What do you make of the cryptoverse with Bitcoin, Ethereum, some of the Bitcoin miners having a nice run over the last couple of weeks? Do you think it's sustainable? Are we at resistance here? What are you looking at with the cryptoverse?
Oh, man, I was too cheap. I was holding for 20K. They hit 30K. This is just based on feel, technical analysis. If you think Bitcoin's going back to 65K, 66K, I think you can find a better entry level than 48. We're down, actually it's dropped quite a bit since we were talking, 48,000 on the futures. So I think it's a bull market. It established that. It took back, I was looking for a rebound of half of that move. From 65K to 30K, just under that. It did that. It is still digesting the move. So, it's more of a trading range, kind of thing. Like, I'm not old, 50K, 55K. I don't think that's going to be, that was the old Bitcoin, and kind of similar to what we talked about with the Moderna and the BNTX. The ride up the second time is always different than the ride up the first time. When something's making new all-time highs, hey, why sell, right? There's no sellers. But when you come around the second time, you got people like, oh, I bought a little bit too much at 50,000. When it comes to 50, I'm lightening up. So it's a different dynamic. I don't have any super long-term projections for Bitcoin or Ethereum. I would keep a closer eye on Ethereum. There seem to be more practical uses for Ethereum as far as the NFTs. Also, what I observed was Ethereum was kind of leading Bitcoin. So I think you got a new leader as we speak. I'm looking at Ethereum right now, and that's on a big level, 3160 or 3160 has been pretty good support here. So like I said, I think you get in a little bit cheaper on these if you think that making a big run to 65 or 100K.
Yeah, good points there, Joel, because a lot of times when there's not any overhead resistance at all, when something's breaking out to new highs, as you pointed out, it's really one of those things where you let it run its course. But in this case, we've already had the run up to the $64,000 question, and now we have different levels of resistance that are overhead, so it may be good to be cautious on the way up. And you also brought up the point about the outperformance of Ethereum, some of the other altcoins. It looks like the age of Bitcoin outperformance is stalling, and some of the other coins are have like Cardano and Monero and some of those other ones are having a chance to run, as are the miners. But there's one other sector I want to touch on real quick, and that is the commodity sector. It was doing good at the beginning of the year. A lot of the base metals, energy, oil, you know, agricultural products, they were on a good run. And then we had about 2 months of corrective action, and they pulled back. It looks like over this week and kind of towards the end of last week, we've seen a push back higher in the base metals and some of the ag commodities, in oil. What do you make of the recent bump in commodities? Is it sustainable or is it just a flash in the pan?
I mean, all the commodities are a little bit different. I mean, crude had that major losing streak and it's just streaking back up. I mean, it had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 down days in a row, getting a little bit of a rebound. I still feel like, you know, for crude and maybe for gold, it's just like whack-a-mole. You know, like they look good, and they whack it down. And, full disclosure, on the GLD, the GDX for a long time, I mean, they had me shaking in my boots at 1680. You know, I didn't puke it out. And I just feel like, oh, man, we're back at 1800 again. Oh, God, I got to get out. And then I don't, and then it gets slammed down. So speculators got burned on that move down to 1680. I can't get super bullish the bullion gold until it proves to me that it can clear 1850. That's been a resistance point going back to the middle of July. So that, you know, it's just a trading range, and I think people have to respect it that way. I extended the bottom of the trading range. Now let's hope we extend the top of the trading range.
Yeah, good point. There's a lot of people looking at that 1830, 1840 level as a layer of resistance too. But breaking above 1850 decisively, especially on a weekly close, would be a good thing for the sector. Just one final thought. When you're looking at the technical setup in any market, Joel, and you're looking at things that are testing resistance or things that are testing support, are there any chart indicators that you look at, or do you look at volume? Do you look at momentum indicators? What are the main tools you use in your technical toolbox?
You ever heard of the KISS method?
Keep it simple, stupid?
Yep. That's what I do. And, you get your double or triple tops on your dailies. Those lead to your weeklies. Those lead to your monthlies. It's also the sign of institutional accumulation of distribution as well. Also, when stocks are busting out to new all-time highs, I don't focus so much on the actual all-time high, but what I focus is on the all-time closing high, because that's where the institutions are really making their decisions. I mean, you can't, for example, you know, Pfizer. Pfizer got up to 5186, right? So if you were focused on that number, over the next five sessions like today, you know, you never even got a look at it, right? But if you would have focused on the all-time closing high price, which was made on the previous day at 5042, well, you didn't get a shot for a couple days on Thursday and Friday. You got a shot on it Monday, and you're probably scratching your head when it went to 5136. But now, in retrospect, it hasn't even hit that level today. And now it's $2 away. So keep it simple. Double tops, triple tops, you know, also consolidations. And pay attention to the all-time closing high, folks. Not so much that all-time high or all-time low.
Okay, good ideas there from Joel, and I appreciate you being on the show today. We'll put a link to the pre-market prep show down below this editorial. Glad you had a great event, Joel, and please keep us posted on the next one, and we appreciate you spending some time with us here on the KE Report.
Great job. I will give a good report to Corey.
Thanks for that.